Fearless Fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego, and it's Raise Nation Radio on tour from the One Cause booth at the Metro Toronto Convention Centre in Toronto, Canada, where we're bringing you coverage from AFP Icon 2024. So buckle up for conference highlights, trends in innovation, and the latest fundraising strategies. We have exclusive interviews with your peers, thought leaders, speakers, and so much more. So whether you missed the conference this year or simply didn't have the time to explore all the sessions and exhibitors, this episode of Raise Nation Radio has you covered with all the must-know happenings. So let's get going. And we're back. It is Raise Nation Radio on tour at AFP Conference, AFP Icon Conference in Toronto. And I found the man I've been chasing down for a couple of days here. He is everywhere. He's like the mayor, Mr. Jason Champion, a little spire. Hey, Jason, welcome back. You've been a friend to Raise Nation Radio so many times. It's so good to chat with you now. How you doing?
Good. I can't complain. I love this. You guys do such an amazing job with getting the word out about just fundraising in general. And you know, Dawn, you're an incredible host.
Oh, you're so kind. So tell us, what do you do? What's going on at Winspire? What do you do at Winspire? I can't imagine there's too many people that don't know Jason Champion, but just in case there's one or two, tell us a little bit about you, what you do at Winspire, and a little bit about Winspire.
Yeah, so I'm at Winspire. I am a couple of different hats there, from janitorial services to administrative work. No, I actually handle all of our product development. So
what does that mean?
I have the privilege of being able to travel the world and execute packages that I can bring back and sell to wonderful nonprofits around the country and be able to help them raise the most money in the world.
So can we swap jobs like every now and again?
You know, look, you give me a microphone.
Need a substitute. If you're sick or something, I'm happy.
You can always go with me, Dawn. You will be my travel buddy always.
I promise to give you all the feedback that you need. That's a great gig you got there. So Winspire happens to be a partner of One Cause. You're part of our Choose Now, Pack Later vendors. There's a lot of travel companies out there that are offering travel packages, but not all are equal.
Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about, because travel is great, makes great fundraising tool.
Absolutely.
Whether it's your auction, your raffle, your prize for the 18th hole, your online gift, so much you can do with travel.
Yep.
What sets Winspire apart?
So, you know, there's a couple of things that set us apart. One is that we started in 2008. We're the longest 15 running.
15 years.
Yeah, 15 years. We're one of the longest running organizations in doing this that have solely been doing this. We hadn't jumped into different markets, hadn't done different things. We have solely been providing bucket list travel experiences for that amount of time, which then gives us a reputation of being able to work with hundreds of thousands of nonprofits. On average, we work with about 8,000 nonprofits in a year.
What? Oh, really?
So if you take that 8,000 events, packages for two people, we're looking at about 16,000 people that we're sending on travel around the world.
Wow.
Because travel is one of those things that builds those memorable experiences, and it can bring those folks back to that night that they bought that package when they travel again. That's what's fun.
It really connects it to the mission.
Absolutely.
You know, people are traveling. Why not travel for good?
Well, why not take some of that money that those folks are already sitting in that audience, right? They're already planning these vacations to Fiji and to Bali and all those things like that. So why don't you just shift some of that money from the Marriott back to you?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have some good reasons. Okay. Maybe you could I can challenge you a little. What do you think about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Risk. Is there risk? I mean, you know, a nonprofit just want to be on the hook for some of these trips.
That is such a great question. And we always get asked that. And what's awesome is that we provide all of these on a consignment, no risk basis.
So consignment has a bad word, but it's really not.
It doesn't.
That's where risk is zeroed out. Okay, so talk about that.
Risk is zeroed out for the fact that you can see all of our packages on our website. We have literally 275 packages all over the globe, from hiking Kilimanjaro to truffle hunting in Tuscany to backstage broccoli. Just depends on what the flavor of the week is and what you would look for and what you could do to your audience and what they'd like to buy. So those packages have a reserve cost with them. That reserve cost is pretty much where you would start your bidding in a silent auction. And then anything you make above that is what you keep put in your pocket. Obviously, a live auction is a little different because you've got an auctioneer that can hype up the room, get excited and all that kind of fun stuff. So you could start the entry price a little lower and then work their way up and be able to push that dollar up higher and higher and higher. What's great is that you're able to sell these packages multiple times. That's key.
Uh-huh. Let me understand that. Multiple times. So I'm at a live event and the audience is being exceptionally excited about a package. Oh, good. Right. Exceptionally giving. I can write then and there without calling Winspire, just say, let's do another one.
Bingo. You got
it. Come on, Jason.
So you think about this. I work with a lot of our national organizations as well, and they kind of have a rule of thumb that the package needs to sell double the cost of what the reserve is.
Okay.
Great. So you've made your money, double the cost. Wonderful. If then you still got people bidding and you've got somebody over here at 7,000, you got somebody at 7,500. What auctioneers should do, instead of just trying to run it up to make the most money at one time, look at both of those people and say, if I could bring you to 7 and you can come to 7, then I'll sell it to you both.
Right then and there. And we don't have to. I don't have to text Jason and say, is this okay? Somebody email somebody.
As a fun note, I do get asked to come to events and jump up in the room when this is happening to be like, I'll give it twice.
Oh,
and
so
we do
wow
that to
factor.
Get them excited. Yep, we do that.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so we could stage this and script it
Absolutely.
Into your program.
And I'm glad that you said that because one thing that we've all learned is if you have someone that rambles on in speeches and things like that, if every moment that does not come out of people's mouths about your mission at your event, you're going to lose attention.
And you would know that because you've hosted how many events now?
Oh my God, I've hosted pageants. I've hosted MC events.
Yeah,
I've done
you're on stage
a little bit of a, I've
you've
called
hosted
numbers.
Raise.
I have hosted Raise.
Yes,
yeah, I hosted Raise last year.
You did. Yeah, you were wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right. So what else are, you know, I mean, isn't it just easier and less expensive to just source the property yourself? And,
you know, there's always a good thought that, I mean, we're the first folks to tell somebody, don't use the product. Try to get what you can donated.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the key, is being able to raise as much money as possible. But we also do know that there's always a challenge within getting really good items donated. Sure, you're all going to get massages. You're going to get gift cards. You're going to get a limo
ride. Whitening.
Right. You're going to get Botox. You're going to get all that stuff, which is great because I bought Botox in an auction before. So, and it worked. It worked. But you work so hard to get something that is going to give such a little return. And then the staff time that goes into that, and if things go wrong, and then, you know, you got board member Betty that'd like to donate her beach house. Okay, great. Love that. You're coordinating with Betty, trying to coordinate with the traveler. There's only 4 hours that they actually could use the house and the right time that they're wanting to do it. And it just becomes a hassle. And this time that you've spent doing all of that, you could have sold something that was completely crafted by us, hand-selected, and well vetted to make sure that it's an experience that those donors that are giving you a $10,000 sponsorship, they're expecting that level of service along with trip. Because that's what's really cool, is that it's not about us and a brand. Yes, everybody knows Windspire, but it's about building that package to where when those folks are traveling and the service that they received pre and post are what's going to make them go back to that event and to that organization and say, I'd love to buy something else from you like this. Could I give you a testimonial for the following year so everybody knows that this is a good place to be?
So wait, did I just hear that you offer services pre and post?
Absolutely.
Oh, tell me about that. You didn't say that before.
I know. So what's even more fun is that we really operate as a full service travel agency.
Okay.
And as a full service travel agency.
So I don't have to deal with Betty board member.
You don't have to deal with Betty board member. You know, you don't have to do any of that stuff. What you're going to get able to do is at the end of the night at your event, you're going to be able to kick back and go, guess what? We just sold Fiji. We made 10 grand and those folks are going to have a blast, because once a winning bidder comes into our system at Windspire, they're assigned a personal concierge.
And
that,
wow.
And that personal concierge will book that trip from start to finish. We will survey that donor when they get back.
And they'll change it 500 times if the donor wants to change it
5,000 times. Yes, they will change.
But I don't have to deal with any of that.
You don't have to deal with any of that. And what's even more fun is that if a winning bidder wants to add on additional nights or they want to add in more experiences, we have the ability to do all of that. What's really cool and what we're seeing as a trend right now is that there may be a couple that comes to an event, pays for the experience, has excited, they're super pumped. When they call to book us, they ask if they could take their parents and they want to bring their kids. So we're adding on more experiences through all of that, which is even more fun because now we're seeing a lot of multi-generational travel, which is super, super exciting that, you know, look, we bought a villa in Tuscany for an auction for 6 people. Okay, who are we taking? Let's call our friends or let's call our parents. Let's get them all to go. It's really kind of a unique.
Yeah, well, I love that because it's really the vacation of their dreams, their way, and they'll always remember that as opposed to, okay, I had to accommodate what the package was. I love the fact that you can customize it. All right, so what's hot in travel right now?
Oh, there's so many hot places right now. Croatia is at the top of my list.
Croatia.
I definitely want to go within this next year. It's absolutely beautiful. It's still old world. It is super friendly. Most everybody speaks English, which is really nice. And then, you know, my second favorite of always and always will be is you may see me living in Florence, Italy one day. I may be there. You never know. That's always good. But, you know, for tropical, Belize is super hot right now.
I saw that package. Uh-huh. Wow. Special.
Belize is super hot right now. And then, you know, just some of our experiences that are really experiences. Like I mentioned backstage Broadway. Broadway is one of those really fun things that people may be like, I don't wonder if I just go sit in a show. Well, that's great. You may not want to just sit in the show, but when it comes with our package, you go to dinner with like two castmates before the show. So you're getting to watch those folks, entertain them, talk to them, answer questions, hear about the play, and then go and sit. And when you're sitting in the audience, they see you, they wink at you. It makes it pretty special.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Makes it pretty special.
Watch a show the regular way anymore.
Right. You never want to do it now. It's like, I could never do nothing but VIP now.
That's right. Once you go VIP, you don't go back.
Yeah, I hadn't bought general admission in a long time.
All right. So success stories. Come on. Now you've sold us. I mean, I think this is the way to go. We're working smarter, not harder. We're delivering. Who puts the packages together? Is that you?
That's me.
Some of these properties with the this and the that and that. You just know how. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Success story then.
You know,
one come to mind?
Yeah. I mean, we work with organizations of all sizes.
Yeah, that's another thing. Is this just for the national enterprise?
No.
Or anybody?
We worked
another
with...
Another myth.
We worked with Little League baseball teams raising money for uniforms. And
do you have a minimum? Do they have to get 15 packages or something?
No, there's no minimums. There's nothing like that. You can pick one. You can pick 50. It really just depends on what you want to do. But we work with organizations of all sizes. And one of them comes to mind is that I work with a really cool school up in New Jersey, Iona Prep. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
I have.
Super great school. And they do a biannual president's raffle.
Okay.
And so they call me and say, Jason, let's get together. Let's pick out four packages, maybe a beach, a city, a mountain, and something international, all in this price point, $3,500 and under. And we're going to run a raffle. This last year, they did a raffle and they made $235,000.
They did not.
Yes, they did. $235,000 because the trips that they had picked, people were so excited.
Yeah.
And people were buying multiple tickets to have that opportunity to win.
Okay. So you need to know your audience then a little bit.
So that goes a good question. I always tell my organizations when we're talking to them and they're like, well, we don't know what to pick. First thing I tell organizations to do is stop shopping with your own pocketbook, first of all.
Yeah.
Because not most of us are going to be able to book a trip to go to Fiji. Okay. We get it. But somebody that just gave you a $20,000 sponsorship, they're booking a trip to Fiji.
Yeah, got it.
So quit shopping with your pocketbook saying that they don't know. You're underestimating
so
what the power of your rooms.
Right. Okay, got it.
Don't be afraid of what a consignment cost is.
And don't look at the lowest consignment cost.
Don't run to the bottom because that's when you're going to have somebody that's like spend $7,000 on it. And they're going to be like, this is not a $7,000 experience.
Right.
I don't want that. I needed to have something better. One thing we do to try to kind of help navigate having the right selection of items is working with nonprofits pre-event and asking them to send out a survey to maybe previous years of donors, previous year's attendees, year's attendees, and maybe sponsors. Send out just a little generic 5-question survey. Hey, we're crafting an amazing experience this year for our auction. We want it to be immersive. And if we were to able to offer a major sporting event, would you pick Masters, Super Bowl, F1, or Ryder Cup? What would you pick? If we are picking a beach vacation, what would you pick? Cancun, Belize, Key West? And ask those questions. And then you know what? If you get 4 people that send you back a survey and say they're all picking Cancun, well, guess what you need to pick?
Cancun.
It gives you a little bit of a little more security that when you're walking into that ballroom that you've picked something that somebody's going to buy.
Well, I also like the social proof. If I was part of a survey and then I saw the results of my survey actually in the auction, I'm going to be like, you know,
That's a great answer. And then it's also, guess what, guys? Another touch point for you, for the attendees. Get them excited. Pump them up.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to continue to talk
and
to people to get them in the door?
Yeah.
Make them part of the event. I mean, the feedback that organizations get when they do that, it's pretty incredible. Because then we've started including in the last question, what bucket list trip would you take? And the last one we just did, there were 5 people that came back and said, I want to go to Taylor Swift. So guess what we did?
Taylor Swift.
We got tickets to Taylor Swift. They sold them for $35,000. Done.
You had Taylor Swift.
I got Taylor Swift tickets. She's buddy. Know her.
Well, we're going to see you this year at Raise.
Yep.
Right?
I'll be back.
You've been a sponsor since the beginning.
I have been to every Raise.
Every Raise.
Yeah.
You have sponsored that event.
Yep.
So if they didn't catch you here at AFP Icon, they can catch you at Raise, but you're so busy in between.
You know, find me on social media.
I know we're planning a webinar together and yeah, all that good stuff. Everybody knows you though, Jason. It's always such a pleasure.
I love it. I enjoy it. We have a great industry. I love working with people that work because they believe in a cause. Mm-hmm. They're not just working in a job to work. And this is what's really unique about our industry is that, and I want everybody that's listening to this, thank you. Thank you for doing what you do, because if it wasn't for folks like you all out there doing this, we would have worse social causes. We would have worse diseases. We would have worse issues that we're having to deal with. And if we don't have people out like that, knocking on the doors, raising money to help move these things forward, I appreciate it. Because we all know, look, nonprofits are overworked, short-staffed, underpaid. We've all changed in the public bathroom, put on events. We've done that, you know? So like, appreciate you. Thank you for getting out there and fighting the fight, because that's what we need.
I would have expected Jason Champion to end with a comment just like that, but it is travel for good. And we're really all here for the greater good. That's
absolutely
why we do what we do. So thanks for stopping by and being in the hot seat and joining Raise Nation. But we have you all the time on our platforms.
Love
it's
it.
Always such a pleasure.
Awesome. Thank
all
you,
right.
Don.
How are your grandkids?
Oh, my grandbabies are doing amazing. They're 6, 4, and 1.5 now.
Six. Okay. So what's what?
Boy. Two girls.
Boy. I haven't gotten pictures though recently.
I know. I need to send you some.
Yeah. All right. You heard that on air.
I'll do it.
Well, we're going to let you get back to your booth, but thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Bye. Hey there. Welcome back. Raise Nation Radio. Hope you're having a great time at AFP Icon. We are here live from the One Cause booth number 707. We're bringing you all the highlights, innovation trends, fundraising strategies. And I just pulled in my friend who I met on the plane over here. Corey Lewin, is that right? Did I get it right?
You got it right.
Corey, introduce yourself to our audience, Raise Nation. Tell them who you are, what you do, and all about your exhibiting here and all that good stuff.
Excellent. So my name is Corey Lewin. I'm a managing director at Upmetrics. And Upmetrics is an impact measurement management platform headquartered in San Francisco, California. And basically, I mean, just for some folks might be listening being like, okay, what exactly does impact measurement management mean? Basically, we work with folks to help determine, you know, impact frameworks to work off of, trying to figure out what metrics we need to track, how do we most effectively track those metrics, and then how do we take all that data that we're collecting and then turn it into a story that we can tell to hopefully go out there and secure some more funding, which is really why we're here.
So impact stories. Mm-hmm. Backed by data, concise, and into a beautiful story and pitch so that you can continue to grow the impact.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And it's Upmetrics.
Upmetrics. You got it.
Cool. So take us through when you're working with a client, take us through what that looks like.
Absolutely. So we work with, in this space, we work with both nonprofits and foundations. So on the nonprofit end, the first thing that we're going to want to do is just sort of get your impact framework developed, right? And so try to work with you. We actually have a free tool that we're offering where we've kind of...
Oh, wait, we like free.
We love free. Tool. Yes.
Yes. Okay. We're in the nonprofit world.
Yes.
The free tool. Where do we get this free tool?
So the free tool, you can actually head to our website at upmetrics.com. And one of the first like little pop-ups, it's actually, we just launched it a week and a half ago.
Okay.
So it's like we're hot off
fresh,
the press.
Fresh, hot off the press. Okay,
yes,
got it.
Absolutely. So you can navigate to our website and then just click on the framework building tool.
Okay.
You can register for our platform and you'll be, you know, immediately thrown into the free version of our framework builder.
Got it.
And basically what we do there is we sort of have you enter your mission and vision statements. And then what we'll do is we'll start kind of working off of a framework. If you don't have one, we can make suggestions on which ones might work best. But basically we can start tracking your impact themes, your KIIs, right? The key impact indicators. And sort of just help you start organize your thoughts and say, okay, these are the big buckets that we're tracking. And then these are the individual metrics that we need to be able to track. And this is how we're going to collect that data, right? And so it's a really, ultimately, it's our goal to be able to create like a data-driven ecosystem where, let's say, for example, I'm a small organization who's focused on, you know, youth development, right?
Okay.
And like, I have no idea what metrics I need to be tracking or how I need to organize this, but I can go into the Upmetrics platform and I can see maybe like an organization that does similar work to what we do and say, hey, what are they doing for their impact framework? And you can sort of get those ideas and be able to see examples of, you know, a larger or more established organizations and sort of grab that information and use it to inform how you might go about building your own impact framework. So ultimately, we want to be a resource and a community for the nonprofit space.
But you also offer a lot of consulting in the work that you do. Mm-hmm. It's not just a matter of metrics in and let's try to create a story around this. There's a lot of consulting that goes into it. Talk to us about that.
Definitely. So we can bring in our team of experts, and they're data science folks, but they're also social sector folks, right? The vast majority of my colleagues, including myself, right, we have nonprofit backgrounds or foundation backgrounds. And so basically what we'll do is there are some parts of impact that are pretty straightforward, right? So let's say, for example, that we're an organization that's focused on healthcare, right? Healthcare access. It's really easy to track how many people come to a clinic to get a vaccine, right? That's really easy information. It's kind of like, you know, hey, how many people showed up? How many people got shots, right? Like very straightforward. But let's say, for example, that what we really actually want to be communicating to folks is, as a result of the programming that we're offering, how is that making a long-term impact in the lives of folks who otherwise wouldn't have had access to that, right?
Because it's not a big story about the number of vaccinations.
Exactly.
Right. That's
exactly.
Not, I'm not opening up my checkbook or crying or doing anything.
Right.
So it's like, okay, good information to have.
Yeah, but. Exactly. But when you have an organization who's maybe, you know, offering healthcare services in a rural community, for example, right? Where otherwise they wouldn't have had access, perhaps, right? Understanding like, hey, this is the long-term impact of the work that we're doing requires a really strategic mind to figure out what data points are we tracking? How are we determining how those people are actually better off as a result of the service that we're offering? And how long do we need to be able to measure and keep up with those participants to figure out if access to healthcare has truly had a positive impact in their life? And how long do we need to follow up with them, right? So it's kind of like there are a lot of questions that need to be asked, but a long-term data strategy that's involved in trying to figure that out. So our team of experts can kind of help you think through more strategically, how do we approach bigger questions like this? And how can we then make sure that we have the infrastructure in place to collect the required information and then be able to tell a really big story about
that? Because you want the story to grow the impact.
Exactly.
Right. Not just be a bunch of data points.
Yeah.
So interesting. I love what you're doing. So it's Upmetrics.
Upmetrics.
Okay. We're going to have to get all that, you know, in the show notes and all. What are you most looking forward to or most excited about for your conference experience?
Man, I mean, I come from a nonprofit background. I used to be a fundraiser. So it's great to, you know, be back in this scene a little bit. But I think that from an Upmetrics perspective, as I mentioned earlier, really trying to get, our goal is to get as many nonprofits as possible on the free version of our platform, because we really find that once we have sort of like a critical mass and once we have lots of folks who are a part of our ecosystem, that it can really start to be a benefit to the community as a whole. So I'm really excited to just talk to more nonprofits and to introduce Upmetrics and especially our free tools, right? And get them in front of folks with the hopes that, you know, we'll be able to sort of be a source of guidance and information to the industry moving forward. So I'm really excited to be here.
Right. I got one more question for you. How long does it take? So I sign up for the free tool. Mm-hmm. I start figuring out my framework, what I should be tracking, what's going to have an impactful story. Mm-hmm. How long before I get my story? Like, because we know we're storytellers. We want to get our story out there quickly. We want to grow our impact quickly, but it takes time, I would think.
It does. And it really depends on the data that you're collecting and the kind of story that you're going to tell. So like back to that example, it's like, hey, we are trying to tell the story of this, you know, vaccine clinic that we're doing over the course of, you know, the next 6 months, right? You could really tell a story with that as soon as those clinics are done, right? Like you're gathering that information and you'll be able to see, you know, demographics and by, you know, by gender, by socioeconomic status, right? You can pretty much update that information as soon as you get it, and then you'll be able to tell a story. However, that second, you know, example that I used of access to healthcare, that's going to be a much longer process, right? So it really depends there, you know, but once you kind of get the information into the platform, it's instantaneous, right? You'll be able to have all of those updates. You can even have folks out in the field who are gathering surveys. And as those surveys are getting responded to, it'll show up in the platform and auto-populate. So the next time you log into UpMetrics, you'll be able to see, you know, the information that's being collected out in the field in real time. So as soon as you gather the information, there's a story that you can tell about it, yeah, which is really exciting.
But it's an evolving story.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it sounds like we really need your service for the long haul.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. We're looking to build partnerships, right? We definitely want to make sure that we can kind of offer our expertise in the long run, because ultimately, once you kind of have a framework for collecting that information and for telling those longer and more in-depth stories, then that's when you can start collecting the big bucks, right?
Yeah,
you can really say like, hey, listen to the impact that we're making on this community or in this space. And that's when folks are going to be much more willing to open up their checkbooks and support.
That's what it's all about. Well, I applaud what you're doing because you're really growing the impact. So have a great conference experience. You'll have to check back with Raise Nation Radio or visit with us again. Let us know how it's going. But let's, to our audience, remember the free tool, UpMetrics. Go right to their website. Just sign up and get started.
Yeah, thank
how
you.
How does that sound? Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Sounds good. We'll see you again, Corey.
Thanks.
Welcome back, Raise Nation. We are so glad that you're joining us. We are bringing you all the highlights from AFP Icon in Toronto, Canada. And look who I ran into, the very lovely Rachel D'Souza. I'm so excited to have you on the show again. How are you?
I am so thrilled to see you. It feels like many lifetimes have passed since we were in Nashville together last fall.
That's right.
And I am so happy to be in Toronto for AFP Icon.
Yeah, we're happy to see you here. How's your son doing? I hear we turned a digit.
We did. So when last I saw you, I had two children. Now I have a child and a teenager.
You're welcome.
Teenager.
Yes.
Yeah. So I actually got into town a little bit later than I wanted because his birthday was on Friday and mama doesn't leave on the birthday.
Nope. Mama's there.
Yep. So had to catch that red eye Saturday morning, but happy to be in Toronto. It feels like a big family reunion here.
Oh, that's a great feeling amongst fundraisers. Now, how old is your daughter?
She is 8, turning 9 in May.
Oh, she's too young that we can't put her to work yet at Raise.
She's working it. Whether we give her permission or not, she's out there doing her thing.
Give her a job. What
exactly.
A leader. You're raising two leaders there.
I'm trying. You might see them at Raise. You might see them at Raise this fall.
We love seeing them. Bring them down. We're one big family. But I guess we should talk a little fundraising. So this is amazing. There's over 3,000 fundraising professionals here. I know that you're excited to see all the things. But there's one in particular highlight for you that's pretty exciting. Tell us about that.
There is. So, you know, when we spoke on the podcast last year, I shared a little bit about community-centric fundraising and my work with the Community-Centric Global Council. And this is the first year that AFP Global is welcoming the CCF Global Council as part of their programming. So I am so excited to be moderating a panel with some of my fellow council members on Monday afternoon.
So what is that session?
So that session, it's a 3:45 session in the relationship building track, and it is Moving Towards Equitable Futures, a CCF panel.
Fantastic. So what does this mean for the future of fundraising, being more community-centric? I know you're so passionate about that. I mean, great progress. So congratulations.
Thank
the work
you.
That you're doing has influenced this. But what does that mean for fundraisers? Why should they be interested?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I think everyone finds themselves in this sort of very volatile moment. The world continues to change. Money is moving quickly. We have a lot of entrepreneurship. And people are really struggling to figure out what sustainability looks like. And when we're working with our clients and with other nonprofits, what we keep hearing is, I love these equitable values of community-centric fundraising. I love that we're encouraging belonging. I love that we're thinking outside of the box of that traditional donor. But how do I do it? how do I bring change into my organization? How do we get a little uncomfortable and maybe try some things that we haven't done in the past with donor education, with trying different kinds of events that are more inclusive or located in different communities, right? And so the opportunity for us on this panel is to really talk about some of the early learnings we've had in the community-centric fundraising movement and how maybe trying some different things, adding some different kinds of aspects to your development strategies may make your organization more sustainable in the future.
Yeah. And sustainability, being donor-centric, community-centric, and just optimizing back to the basics,
exactly.
Really good fundraising, creating those communities. And I know you're so passionate about that. All right, let's segue outside of AFP Icon. What's Rachel up to? What are we doing these days?
Oh my goodness. Well, you'll be happy to know I have one more class left in my Master's of Legal Studies at Washington University School of Law. So I am happily winding that program down.
One more class.
Wow. It starts in June.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Countdown.
Yes, totally. I am also, this is my first year as the president of our AFP board here in St. Louis. I'm the first person of color to hold that role. And we will be hosting AFP Lead in October, and then we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary in 2025.
So not much going on.
Not much. I'm very boring person, looking for more things to do.
Mm-hmm. Because what else can you put on your plate?
Of course. You know, let's not, you know, I'm glad it's an election year. I'm not running for office. That's what I'll say.
Well, next year. We'll look for that next year.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Happy birthday to Cameron.
Thank you so much.
Bring your little leader. We're going to need to put her to work for a raise September 9th, 10th in Nashville, Tennessee.
I cannot wait to be down there again.
Whatever you tell that little one to do, she's 3 steps ahead of you.
Exactly.
And I don't know how you keep up.
That's what we need the kids to be doing. Thank you so much, Dawn.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back, Raise Nation. We are still here in Toronto, broadcasting from the One Cause booth at AFP Icon in Toronto. And we couldn't call it a wrap until we got one of our favorite people in the sector to sit in the hot seat, Mr. Eric Tamales from Virtuous. Eric, how are you?
Hey, Dawn. Happy whatever, last day.
What day? Last day.
What day of the week is it?
I don't exactly know. Maybe Tuesday?
I think it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fun. Such a fun trip.
It is. It's a great conference. Yeah. I mean, one of the best, one for the history. But let's talk Virtuous.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have this beautiful booth and dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
We've been told it looks like a hair salon because it's got like the cosmetic route on the side where you can buy things. You've got the nail salon in the back, and then it's this giant wall, but it's bright, colorful, open air for folks to come over and learn more about Virtuous and responsive fundraising.
Whatever it is, it's quite good looking.
I know, right?
Yeah, good looking booth.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some product. What are you showing? What's new with Virtuous? What are you letting fundraisers in on with all the innovation happening there at Virtuous?
Absolutely. Well, we continue to talk about responsive fundraising, and that's the differentiator in our space, you know, going into, you know, learning more about our donors and connecting with them and suggesting those next steps and actually learning from what we do on a regular basis. That's going to be the core of everything we have a conversation about. But we've launched 2 new products this year already. And so we've got 2 more coming down in the pipeline and opportunities to help nonprofits grow generosity. And we talked a little bit about our Virtuous BI, which is our heavy data reporting tool that's coming out, or that came out back in June and February. We've got another one we just did, and we upgraded our Raise Donors platform and our online giving solution. And we've got a couple more that were coming out there later. But the cool thing yesterday is actually we did a pre-release of Gabe Cooper's new book, The Responsive Nonprofit. And so we haven't even done a book release yet, but Gabe released about 150 of them for attendees that wanted to come over, and he personally signed and connected with all our customers and our prospects and our individual nonprofit organization leaders.
Is that his second or third book?
It's his second book.
Second book. And what's the first one?
It's called Responsive Fundraising.
Right. Yeah. You know, I don't think that responsive has ever meant so much in the space as it actually does. I don't know how you guys had the foresight to go with responsive fundraising, but that's really feels like the theme that we need to be donor-centric and responsive to our donors,
100%.
What their expectations are. We need to connect deeper, more personal. That all starts with data.
Yep.
And that is where I feel like everything that Virtuous is doing
and where you're going. And it's such a great foundation for nonprofits. Am I on the mark here?
100%.
Yeah. So let's talk about being responsive and how important that is to the sector.
And I'll go a step a little bit deeper. I've shared with you personally. I don't know if I have.
I think I know where you're going. Go ahead.
Like when I've come from the nonprofit space. I spent so much time on the front lines as an executive, as a leader, working with different things. And I had a 10-minute conversation with Gabe about 3 years ago. Learned about responsive in that 10-minute meeting. I didn't even think I was going to work for. I wasn't looking for a job at all. And I was like, Gabe, I want to be on your team.
Yeah.
I want to talk to people about responsive. I believe in what you're doing. He had the foresight, 10, 15 years ago to come up with this idea about bringing automation.
So before its time.
Before its time. And like you said, now everybody is talking about automation and how to make more life easier for nonprofits. And so that's where we are. We're always going to be ahead of the curve. We're always going to be identifying where nonprofits could go, should go, and work with them together on that path.
Yeah. And it's so important because mm-hmm. in order to go deeper with our donors, meet their expectations, mm-hmm. meet what's going on in the for-profit space that donors are so accustomed to, we can't keep taking on all of the manual work. We're going to need automation.
Right.
And we're going to need smart automation. And you had the foresight 15 years ago, to do that. But you go deep in so many directions. So let's talk about the Virtuous One Cause integration a little bit. You know, it's interesting to me because there is a lot of talk about integration.
Mm-hmm.
Fundraiser, the nonprofit space is getting hit with innovation all around them. You can't just go haphazard with your tech stack
right. And
just grab something here, grab something there. It has to make sense. It has to be intentional. But the Virtuous One Cause integration is very intentional mm-hmm. in that we're looking at the totality of data. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because it's kind of special.
It is special. And it's interesting. Like I just did a presentation earlier this week and someone actually asked in the presentation, and no, they were not a plant. They were like,
you didn't pay them.
I didn't pay them.
Okay.
But they asked the question. They were like, if you had the opportunity to, what is the best tech out there? And of course I went back and I was like, of course it's Virtuous. I'm
of
a little
course.
Biased.
Yeah.
But the answer I said to them was like, listen, go to your home base, whatever it might be, your CRM, your technology, and everything else, and work around and find out what the add-ons around it is to be able to connect to it. And that's what I think nonprofits didn't do 5, 10, 20 years ago. They would just buy, like you said, haphazardly, all these different technologies that didn't communicate with one another. But we need to take a step back and see where you want to start and then what works with our platforms. And that's why I'm excited about One Cause, because coming from the nonprofit space, working in that auction and giving an event and galas and everything else that we do, we only looked at the individuals that won the gift or the item or the raffle or whatever it might be and put them in our database. But now we can have data on the back end to be able to like drive our strategy, being able to say, hey, what are the second bidders or the third bidders, the people who didn't win
that? Sometimes were $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 they were willing to spend.
Yeah. And then we put them into the marketing automation platform. Now we can communicate to them, put them on a customer journey of saying, hey, you wanted to contribute, you wanted to give, you wanted to buy that item. But here, let me tell you about my Humane Society. Let me tell you about my animal welfare. Like, tell me all about that organization more to be able to garner that support.
Brilliant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little about, let's go in a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. Your culture is very similar to ours.
Right.
We do believe, while we are for-profit companies, because we have to keep the development going, we have to keep the lights on,
right. But
we really do have this culture that we are one mm-hmm. with the nonprofit sector, because together we just want to build a future that's brighter.
Yep.
How important, because Gabe Cooper is mm-hmm. all about that, right?
Yes.
And did we mention Gabe Cooper? And his title and his role at Virtuous, we just dropped his name.
He's our CEO. He's our founder. He's the guy that wrote the literal book on responsive fundraising.
He is that guy. That's right. So,
the most modest guy I've met, which is just so great.
You know what? And that's true. Mm-hmm. I think, well, that's what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. That humble culture and the culture that you've developed at Virtuous, how important do you feel that is in serving the nonprofits that you work with, the partners you work with?
No, it's fantastic. I come from the nonprofit space. Majority of our team come from the nonprofit space. We hire those that come outside of the nonprofit space that are the best and brightest to be able to inform what we should be doing in the nonprofit space. It's April. It's National Volunteer Month.
That's right.
And so our team volunteers all the time. We have Virtuous Volunteer Days. We actually have it a part of our HR package where
we do too. We call them Philanthropy Days.
And
yeah.
So you can go and donate your time, your volunteer. We had someone donate a bone marrow a couple of weeks ago. Like,
oh, wow.
It's just different things to be back in the community. And we're avid supporters of AFP, the local chapters, national chapters. we are out there to be able to, you know, help them do more good.
All right. So what message do you have for nonprofits out there? What do you want them to know about Virtuous outside of the things like, you know, your product roadmap, and like, what do you just want them to know about Virtuous, the company?
Oh yeah.
I mean, break the barriers down.
I mean, break the barriers. And we love dismantling the status quo, and we love just helping nonprofits. We're different. I hate using the Apple phrase, like, you know, we're different, but you know, at the end of the day, we're here to help them work, do their job. And, you know, we understand work is tough. The work that they do, it matters. And the communities they serve, it is important to us. You know about the great resignation, the great migration, and folks are leaving the jobs because the work is overbearing. But we want to help them do their jobs more efficiently and effectively.
And bring joy to their work.
And bring joy to the work to be able to focus on generosity toward the end of the year. So, like, it's all about helping them.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay. So lots of learning happened here.
Yep.
Lots of sessions. What are there, 7 or 9 concurrent sessions, yeah, right? So many exhibitors to meet.
Mm-hmm.
So nonprofits go back to their desk, overwhelmed with all of, help them. What do you think they should prioritize? What should they be thinking about? Like the top three things that they should be thinking about first? Because you've been all over, you're networking, talking, you're the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Help our audience prioritize what they should be doing on Wednesday after AFB-ICON.
On Wednesday after AFB-ICON, I live by the 7 habits of Stephen Covey. And the 7th habit is...
Oh my gosh, I love this.
...is sharpen the saw. And I would say on Wednesday, take a day, spend time with your family, balance, come back, walk away. You're going to have...
Walk away.
You're going to have 1,000 emails in your inbox, you know, trying to catch up on everything else, but take a breath. Decipher what you just learned, come back on it on Thursday and Friday, get your work done, and just prioritize what your top three learnings were.
Yeah. And good advice. Walk away. I like that.
And baby steps, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to boil the ocean all at once, but take some items.
You're not going to be able to boil the ocean at all.
No, but you're not.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
But one step at a time. Okay. So same question, but a little different take. How should nonprofits attack their tech stack? There's lots of tech out there.
There is.
And lots of choices. Mm. And I think that we have some course correcting to do because we just, that sounded good. That sounded good. We could do this. We could do that. Because, you know, let's face it, we're all great at presenting our product and innovation. So help our nonprofits with all of this technology. How should they attack their tech stack?
I'm a big believer in auditing and like every year taking a step and looking at all your technology and saying, hey, what is working? What isn't working? Where should I go? I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. Start with your home base, whatever it might be. See what fits into there with a native integration, an actual integration, whatever it might be, a Zapier connection, all those different things. But all that might sound like foreign language to folks, because I think you should also go another step further. And there's agencies out there and consultant firms that are actually doing those tech audits and understand the difference between all of our platforms.
Yeah.
And I think frankly, when I was in the space, I didn't know the difference between Virtuous and a One Call. I thought we were the same, right?
And we're not.
We're partners. But in the reality is there's so much that the nonprofit leaders are going through. They don't know the difference of the names, these new companies, younger companies, older companies, established, all the different things. Agencies and consultant firms are out there to help guide that process.
Get help.
And frankly, I'll say, connect with me, connect with Dawn.
Yeah.
Like, we'll help you because we want to make sure, we will tell nonprofits all the time what works and what shouldn't work.
I think that goes back to the culture, you know, finding that partnership that you trust.
Yep.
Because yes, of course, One Cause wants to partner with as many nonprofits as we could.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we also want round pegs and round holes and square pegs and square holes. And if it's not the right fit, we're going to be first to.
Yeah.
You know, first to say that.
I mean, this show has been great. And like, there's a couple organizations that, you know, are not ideal customers for Virtuous. And a group of us, we've actually recommended our competitors and actual better fits for them.
Yeah.
And it's just being honest with folks. And I think that's, again, culture.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. We all want the success stories too.
Right.
And if it's not the right fit, you're probably going to get a less than stellar you know, success. So what have you taken away? What are your standout moments? I mean, because if something impressed you, we probably want to know about it. What impressed you here?
I mean, AFP Icon is one of my favorite conferences. Okay. You know, I love,
aside from Rays,
aside from Rays,
equal to Rays,
or RNS, of course, right? Of all the things, I love this, the connections, the history, all the folks that are coming back. I enjoy AFP because all these chapters from around the country are going through similar things. And they're coming together and they're dropping their barriers and they're all working collaboratively and like learning from one another.
Yeah. And has that collaboration feel this year, especially.
Yeah. And I think the big buzz like lately has been technology and AI and more efficiencies. And because, you know, frankly, there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Yeah. Tremendous opportunity. Mm-hmm. We just have to try to prioritize it and get some consulting help. Mm-hmm. So I dropped Rays. So shameless plugs, but I do want to express gratitude for being a partner of One Cause, being a Rays sponsor after year. And we're so glad that you'll be back this year.
We're so excited.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. September 9th and 10th. But you did another drop, RNS.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if people caught what that acronym means, but
a lot of acronyms.
Can you tell us?
Yeah. So Responsive Nonprofit Summit is our virtual conference coming up here in, I want to say, 3 weeks. It's going to be May 7th to May 9th.
Okay.
It's a virtual conference. You guys are fantastic partners as well. And you guys are going to be speaking at it. We're going to do three tracks. We've got a main stage where, you know, we're having some really incredible speakers and thought leaders in our platform, as well as a couple technology platform stages to learn more about our product for our customers so they can go deeper and wider. And then I'm actually leading a whole host of strategy sessions where I'm bringing in panelists from across the entire industry just to talk about different things that are keeping them up at night. So there's going to be three different tracks. Virtual summits are challenging. They're not the best.
Yeah, but we appreciate that coming off. I'm tired. My feet hurt.
Right? But like this one is, I mean, a little biased, but like I love RNS because it's about 4 or 5 hours a day. We make it fun. We have some music. We have the activities. They're quick sessions and they're the best thought leaders in our industry.
So if somebody's hearing this and they want to.
Yeah, please go to virtuous.org/summit.
Okay.
And you'll be able to find all the details and all the components there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we love gathering in person, but we have to continue learning all year long, every day, all day. And my feet hurt a little. So I do appreciate, you know, having a virtual opportunity in a couple of weeks.
And I believe we have like 35 CFRE credit. It's available for that conference.
Oh, all CFRE.
All CFRE.
Fantastic.
So if you're looking for it, it's going to be on demand and everything else.
So you're not selling to me. You're really helping educate me.
100%.
Okay. What's next for Virtuous? What can we expect down the line?
Oh, we got two more products. You gotta wait and see, but there's some opportunities out there.
Come on, this is Rays Nation Radio. I like to leak all the news.
I'm not gonna leak it yet.
You know,
I'm gonna get my hand slapped by my boss.
Who can I talk to tomorrow that's gonna spill the tea for me? No. I'm kidding.
I know you are.
Okay, and where can we find you? Because you're such a person to follow. You're everywhere. How many speaking engagements do you do a year?
Good amount. I enjoy it.
I know you do.
Periodically.
Yeah. Where are we going to see you next?
So I'm on the road all over. So please connect with me on LinkedIn. That's the best way to find where I'm at. I'm on the road probably for the next 7 more weeks. Not in a row, but I'm traveling quite often. So.
Yeah. Well, I love your presentations. They're very humble, modest, super actionable, super engaging. And you tell a story.
Yeah.
And who doesn't like all of those things wrapped up in one?
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks for stopping by here, being in the hot seat. We are ready to wrap pretty soon.
Awesome.
You're looking forward to going home to the family. And
I'm going home and then I'm heading to Atlanta tomorrow. So.
Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So I'm going home, seeing my wife. And then tomorrow morning, I'm flying to another opportunity.
Wow. Well, good luck there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much,
always
Dawn.
A pleasure, Eric.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for all you guys do for the industry as well.
Thanks so much. All right. That's a wrap here at AFP Icon in Toronto, Canada. It has been an amazing gathering of the nonprofit sector, and we are so happy to put a bow on it with Eric Tomalis from the amazing Virtuous organization. So we will see you next time. For now, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Rays Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there. Fearless fundraisers, that's about all we have time for today. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Rays Nation Radio, bringing you coverage from the AFP Icon Conference in Toronto, Canada. Listen to all the episodes on Rays Nation Radio and follow your favorite channel because we broadcast everywhere. And this way you can get notifications about all our new guests. I'd like to thank our sponsor, One Cause, an AFP Icon sponsor and exhibitor, for making this episode possible. One Cause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital software solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out at onecause.com and visit the resource tab on the homepage for a broad catalog of free content that hopefully you'll find very helpful. I'd like to thank all of my guests that took the time from their very busy AFP Icon conference schedule to join us at the One Cause booth to talk about these hot-button topics, fundraising trends, innovation, and so much more. I truly enjoyed the conversations. We hope you did too. But I'd like to leave you with one last dose of inspiration. It's one of my favorite quotes from Erin Hansen. And it goes like this. You can ask yourself, what if I fall? Oh, but darling, what if you fly? So fly high, fearless fundraisers. Thank you again so much. That is a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.